We are so excited that you're here. We are excited for God moments. I love when we come to church and just hear God stories and God decides it's a good day to be in church. Aren't you glad that he shows up? I know, I get it, he's everywhere or whatever, but the manifest presence of God, that God decides that I should go there because there's hungry people that want me to show up there. And I want to keep my heart like that. It's so easy to get lazy. It's so easy to get complacent. Oh yeah, God shows up and it's all good, right? I want to keep my heart hungry. I want to continually be in awe. I want to walk out of every service where God shows up and be like, he did it again. Can you believe that? Like, not because of a lack of faith. I don't mean that. I just mean in awe. Did you see what happened? Did you see how their life was transformed? Did you see how so-and-so was healed? Did you see how that relationship was mended? Did you see how in the middle of the service, so-and-so's phone rang and it was their son they haven't talked to in so long? You know, like miracles. Like that God would show up, that God would take time to be with us. Like, that's not a small thing. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. And I just want to, be in awe of that. So if you guys, I hope someday you guys are like, oh, really? Just get over it. God shows, like, nope. Because I want to be that incessant on just standing in awe that God would come again and show up again and move again and stir again and heal again and transform again. I don't want that to ever get old. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. Back to Philippians. Sometimes the car starts to leave, and then you forgot your wallet in the house, and you have to run back, right? So when I started the message, we were planning on moving on, but as we move through things, we're going to revisit some of the verses that we were in last week. This is Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14, Paul is saying, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. Remember, he had this big list of things. You know, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, obtaining the resurrection from the dead. You know, just like I consider all these other things rubbish, you know, really kind of laid it out there and just put this high bar out there. Last week, we just said, he's saying, I haven't taken a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Just a really quick review over last week. First thing is, Paul had this honest self-assessment, and we talked about that a lot, where we fall, it's like, it's a sharp edge. Take an axe or a knife and tip it up on edge and walk on that. Like, don't really do that. But like, that's kind of what you're doing here in your self-assessment. We always fall to one side, or we always think we're better than we are, or we get some pleasure in self-abasement. Like, oh, I'm just miserable. Like, to have an honest self-assessment. Where am I really at? And Paul was just being vulnerable there in front of the Philippian church and the whole world, really, because he knew that letter was going to be passed around. And he's just saying, I haven't arrived yet. Anyone ever kind of get that as a slam? Hey, well, you're not perfect, right? Usually when we're saying, it's usually not a compliment, right? Amen? Nobody ever heard that before? Well, you guys maybe are. I don't know. But Paul is saying, I'm not perfect yet. Like, I'm striving for that, but I'm not there yet. So he gives this honest assessment. And so last week we also talked about, has Christ taken a hold of you? Paul said, it wasn't in those verses there, but he says, I'm striving to take a hold of that for which Christ has taken a hold of me. Christ, you didn't get saved aimlessly. You didn't come into the kingdom of God willy-nilly. God had a purpose for you, has a purpose for you, and will have a purpose for you. God plucked you out of darkness. Set your feet upon a rock with a plan. Tell your neighbor, there's a plan. There's a plan and purpose for you. So Paul is saying, I'm straining towards that plan. Christ took a hold of me for something. He took a hold of me for something, for a purpose, for a reason. He's saying, I'm pressing towards that. And that's the other thing that we talked about, pressing on. and not getting stuck in the, well, I haven't made it yet. And then the last thing we kind of ended with is, you know, kind of the upward call. There's this divine purpose and plan for your life. So really just thinking about this concept that God has scooped you up in the palm of his hand. We call it getting saved. But he pursued you. He chased you down. He hunted you. He sought after you. You did your very best to run away. You did a great job at being ignorant, at being negligent, at being obstinate. Some of you are like, you're describing my life. What are you talking about here? We do our, you're a tough crowd today. You guys were really good. I think you got tired out. Like, I feel like, just breathe. It's okay. I'm just having fun with you today. We did our very best to serve me, and still Jesus pursued you. Yes. Amen?
That's right.
Does that sound familiar to anybody? I did my very best to serve me, and everywhere I turned, there was Jesus. Until that one day, I don't know if it was when you were 5 or when you were 55, that one day you bowed your knee. And you said, Jesus, I say yes. I can't do this. You can. Be Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Wipe away my sin. Wash me in your blood. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried and you rose again from the grave. Have me. And you became part of the vine, right? You became part of the body of Christ, all the different analogies that Jesus uses. But it was for a purpose. And so now, as he scoops you up, there's this incredible plan for your life. You ever heard that? God's got a plan for your life, right? It's kind of cliche, but it is so true. God has got a design for you. He's put gifts in you. He's put connections in your relational situation so that you can impact the world around you. He's got a plan for you. His plan is not to get you to heaven. That's just where you're going to end up when this thing fails. The plan is not to go to heaven. That's just your default location after you croak, right? Because you're coming back here anyways. Like, you know, there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. So, like, the plan is, like, he's got plans and purposes for you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But Paul's in the middle of this idea of, but I'm not there yet. Like, there's on this one side, there's these glorious and wonderful and amazing. How many think God's got good plans for you? Raise your hand. Powerful, magnificent, Holy Spirit executed, Heavenly Father inspired and created plans for your life. God didn't just save you and say, all right, you guys, let's just see how this goes. He's with you. He's in you. He's among you. He's got orchestration in mind for you, and all you administrators, like, be at ease. He's got this laid out for you. The problem is getting me into the right spot in that plan, but he's got a divine plan. So on the one side, there's this glorious plan. On the other side, there's the, not there yet. I've failed. I haven't arrived. I haven't got there. And we should have a slide about that. Like, there, okay. If we had this image, this picture, on the one side, like, Paul's being honest in his self-assessment. I haven't obtained it yet. I haven't gotten there. And it's really easy to just say, yep, that's where I'm at. Being an honest self-assessment, and then really to let that settle in on us. Yep, I'm not there yet. And that's the end of the story. But we forget about the rest of the story. But wait, there's this glorious, see over here, that's over the high callings on this side. I've got this glorious plan of God for my life. But Paul's going, but if I'm honest, like, I'm not there yet. I haven't obtained it. I haven't gotten there yet. And God's saying, but there's this glorious, magnificent, heaven-birthed plan for you. and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you watching by video, and you listening by the radio. God's got this incredible plan for you. So how do we not get stuck? How do we bridge that gap? If you can see where this is going, they're about to lay a block, and, you know, what is the thing? Well, we may not know all of the things, but Paul gives us for sure one of the things. He said it's forgetting the past. As I was preparing this, it took a couple hours of just studying this to really let that settle into my spirit of what is he really saying here? And I love how it's just framed here. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. You know, I'm not there yet. But one thing I do, I forget what's behind and I strain towards what's ahead. Press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward, this heavenly calling, this glorious, gracious plan for his life. And he said, one of the things that I do, and by inference, he's writing this letter to the Philippian church. He's not just trying to say, hey, here's how I lost 20 pounds and it's probably not going to work for you. No, he's saying, because he tells us later, follow my example. He's saying, here's a key. Here is a key. Here's one thing that I do. I forget what is behind. I forget what is behind. Got questions. It's a website that I go to once in a while. He says, whether it's a past victory that our minds continually replay, or a past defeat that hangs over us like a shroud, it needs to be left in the past. Listen, nothing hinders present service quite like being mired in another time. I'm going to highlight that. Read that line again. Read it with me. Nothing hinders present service quite like being mired in another time. You know what mired is? Miry clay stuck. Anyone ever shoveled clay before? Anyone ever had a basement that caved in and then your grandpa Jim came over and helped you shovel clay because your footings were all caved in on? Yes. Oh, that's me. Yep. We know that is no fun. And you stick that shovel in and I always tell the story. I used to always tell the story when I would tell my testimony when I was little. You know, we were staying at grandma and grandpa's, your mom and dad's, Joan Yvonne's. And I was single digits, I don't know, young. And I had my 5-buckle overshoes. Probably can't find those anymore. I don't know if they're around or not. But so I'm guessing maybe first, second grade. I don't know what it was. I don't know for sure. But we were at Grandpa Joe's, and down below the hill below, kind of where their garden was at the end. It wasn't a garden back then. It was just a field. I go blazing down through there, and I'm like, oh, I could run out there. So I go tromping through the field. What, it had just rained, and it was plowed up. And so I went to lift my foot up. Guess where your boot stays? And your shoe and your sock. And so I was going nowhere. So I, you know, being the great problem solver that I am, started crying. And so my Grandpa Joe came down and pulled my boots out of there and got me out of the miry clay. But what a great picture. How many of us? Oh, the past. Oh, yeah, I remember when, whether it's a good thing or, oh, the past. Oh, I was so miserable, horrible. And there we sit. And I love that a number of these quotes that I'm going to have for you today talk about both sides of this. Either this shroud of heaviness and darkness and sadness and guilt and about a bad past, or this nostalgia, this victory that our minds continually play, this euphoria about the past. Euphoria about the past gets us mired in just as much as guilt and shame about our past failures does. We still get stuck where? In the past. In the past. And he goes on to say, modeling Paul's forgetfulness means we count the past as nothing. We cut the strings that tie us to that bygone moment. We refuse to allow past successes to inflate our pride, and we refuse to allow past failures to deflate our self-worth. We leave it behind and instead adopt our new identity in Christ. Our new identity. Our new identity is right here today, right now, on this day, today, this day, Sunday, today, this day. Are you with me? No, you're not with me. It's today. It's right here. My new identity is right here today. It's not in the future someday, and it's certainly not in the past. It's right now today, right now. Say right now. It's right now. It's right now today. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, has Christ grabbed you? Has Christ gotten a hold of you? Or are you just showed up at church? If you're a Christian, if Christ has gotten a hold of you, not only is there a new future for you, but you're a new creation. The old is passed away. The new, see, the new has come. See, 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 the new has come. See, some of us, we don't see. Why don't we see my new identity? Because I'm, another word from grandma and grandpa, gawking. You're gawking in the past. You're like, oh yeah, look at that back there. Man, I was so awesome back then. Ooh, I was so horrible back then. I could probably never be anything good at all. Yep. You're gawking in the past when you should be seeing your identity in the present. Come on. Stop your... Joe, stop your gawking. Grandpa Joe liked to look at the fields. Grandma didn't think that was necessary while he was driving. But if you're in Christ, you need to see. Come on. Open your eyes. Come on, church. See. 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 You're a new creation. Forget about that old stuff. Forget about how awesome you were back then. Forget about how miserable and worthless you were back then. It's this day, today, right now, here today. Today, now, today. See. Where do I need to see? Not back then, now, today. See. Paul said, man, I'm not there yet. But one thing I do, I forget. I intentionally push that aside. And I start with today, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Adrian Rogers said, Satan binds us to the past, but Jesus frees you for your future. Satan loves to chain us. Albert Barnes, because he lived a long time ago, talks really funny. And so we'll see if we can read this and if it makes any sense to you. I thought this was a great paragraph. He said, he is the most cheerful Christian who looks onward and keeps heaven always in view. He who is accustomed much to dwell on the past, though he may be a true Christian, will likely be melancholy and dispirited, to be a recluse rather than a warm-hearted and active friend of the Savior. Hard reading, but good. Like, the goal here is to be a warm-hearted, active friend of the Savior. And what Mr. Barnes is saying is that not going to happen if you look backwards. You are not going to be a warm-hearted, active friend of the Savior. Why? Because you're stuck back there. And Paul said, see today. See that new identity that God has created you to be today, here, right now, today, today, this day, today. David Jeremiah, in his book Forward, says that, talking about the past, said, guilt is remembering a sin that's already been buried by the blood of Christ. Bitterness is remembering an offense that should be buried by grace. Discouragement is letting the last setback become a roadblock. It's this idea of trying to live back then, an hour ago, a day ago, a week ago, a year ago, a lifetime ago. That's not where our life is at. Our life is now hidden in Christ. It's now hidden in Christ. It's today. It's this day. And he goes on to say, listen to this. Your brain wants to relive events over and over. Your brain. Anyone ever rehearsed something in your mind? Anyone ever had some anxiety about something, or you've been frustrated with something? You've had an imaginary conversation 73 times with this person in your head? Maybe you got a little bit of frustration or bitterness in there. Your brain wants to relive events over and over. If you let it, it will haunt you with failures, shame you with mistakes, keep you awake with stress, and lull you to sleep with nostalgia. Oh, wasn't it good back then? You can override your brain by giving the past to God and then forgetting the things that would pull you back and down. But it doesn't just happen automatically. You know what happens automatically? Tape gets on loop. That's what happens automatically. Go ahead. Don't manage your brain space. See what happens. Right? And unfortunately, most of us live like that. We do. Well, I'm praying to God. I just have this thing running over. Sometimes you need people to lay hands on you. Sometimes you need people to lay hands on you. Just stop it. Right? Just take those thoughts captive. I'm making fun. I know we're laughing, but this, I mean, it's serious. Paul's saying, man, to bridge the gap between God's destiny for me and I'm not achieved it yet, man, we need to forget where I've victoried in the sense of relying upon that and being nostalgic about it and forget where I've failed, because today's a new day. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. Warren Wiersbe, one of the guys I love to quote, says, forgetting those things which are behind does not suggest an impossible feat of mental and psychological gymnastics by which we try to erase the sins and mistakes of the past. It simply means that we break the power of the past by living for the future. Yes. Come on, just let that settle into your spirits. I don't have to try to memorize some new thing about how my past, I'm going to forget, right? We're going to break the power of that tape that's running on repeat by living for the future. I mean, you know what? That was, but this is, and I'm going forward. That was, but this is. See my new identity. Jesus calls me chosen. He calls me loved. He calls me that I've got a hope and a future. He says that about me. You cannot change the past. Listen, but we can change the meaning of the past. The past is factual. But how the past plays out in your present can change the meaning of that past. Is it an anchor that holds me down, or is it a lesson to be learned? Is it an altar that I built to declare the glory of God and the goodness of God, or is it a shrine to how God used to be in my life? Ouch. You can't change it, but you can change the meaning of it. Robert Jameson says, I love this quote, looking back is sure to end in going back. So, that all sounds simple, right? Sounds pretty easy, right? Why don't we all just do that? Seems simple to Paul. I'm going to forget what's behind. Let me throw out some thoughts. Can I throw out some thoughts today? These are just thoughts. Maybe these are wrong. I feel they're not wrong, but if they are, that's okay. God will convince you later. These are just ideas that there's probably another 400, but I'm just going to give you a few ideas of why we don't leave the past. Why are we stuck there? So, why do we choose to stay there? The past is comfortable. It's familiar, right? We know what happened then. Well, that's how I used to do it. That's how I've always done it. That's how things always go, right? We like the predictability of kind of living in yesterday. It's easy for us. Doesn't produce good things, but it's comfortable for my soul because I know that. I don't know that, but I know that. I know the past. I know back there. I don't know what's up there, but I know what's back there, and I like that feeling. Even if it means something bad, like it's familiar. It's familiar to me. How about this one? In the past, there are no expectations. Huh. Well, what about if I move on to this great high calling of God? Hey, God's got a plan for my life, and heaven is forming this plan. Okay, now we're starting to get scary here, right? God, like the Holy Spirit is going to help you execute this plan in your life. Okay, this is really getting scary. What's going to be expected of me if I sign up for this? I'd kind of rather just stay here stuck. Right? What expectations are there going to be if I get unstuck? Grandpa might make me clean up my boots. Right? I might have to go and do the chores that I should have been doing instead of playing in the mud. Right? Like, I don't know what's going to be expected of me if I get unstuck. right? It's really easy to be this victim and to get stuck there. The future, well, that can't be as good as the good old days. Every flip of the calendar, this becomes more and more sinister in your life, and you need to fight this with a vengeance. It's pretty quiet in here now. I'm just telling you like it is. Like, the older I get, the easier it is to look back and say, well, yeah, nothing going forward is going to be like those days. And forget, I mean, everyone's got a different those days. I don't care if it's, you know, family related or culture related or fill in the blanks. There's 100 different things. And that statement robs you of future glory. You get to glory in how things were, and you're not remembering it correctly anyways. So just ask someone else that was there, because they've got a completely different understanding of how things went, right? It's so true. It is. We kind of glorify these great moments or how things were or whatever, and we carry that on, and we get tethered to that, and we get stuck there. And so we don't look with anticipation towards what God has in the future, because I know what it was like in the past. And nothing's going to ever be as good as that. But are you in heaven yet? Are you still breathing? Then God's got glorious plans going forward. No matter your age, no matter your position in life. Well, then, if I live in the past, I don't have to change. I mean, I personally love change, but, you know, just kidding. My wife is laughing at me. Change is difficult. We don't like change. We like predictable. We like to know how things are going to go. Change, I'm this way for a reason, right? Usually because I'm fallen and selfish. That's usually what the reason is. But if I go forward with God, things might look different. We've had some of those conversations in our family lately. What does going forward look like? Oh, change. That's right? We don't like it much. If we had a vote, we would say no change. Guess what you need for growth? Change. But in the past, if I'm stuck there, I don't have to change. I kind of like it. Don't like it. It's not healthy. It's not growing. This is an interesting one. But I want to honor the past. There was great things of God that happened there. There's great God moments in my life. And I felt as I was preparing this message today, and I hope that you're hearing my heart this morning, that part of my job today was going to be for some of you to give you permission to go forward. Because you feel like, and I've heard this in conversations over and over, people get stuck to the past because they want to honor someone or they want to honor a God moment that happened. And you're really crippled moving forward because I don't want to do things different, or they would have wanted it this way or whatever. Or I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but I'm telling you what I felt as I was preparing this, that some people need permission. That you can still honor the past. You can still honor what God did. You can still honor the things that were amazing there and then move on. We hold that in regard, yet we press on towards what God has towards tomorrow. Yep. You know, we've got a plaque around the corner there of Pastor Fearing. Like, he started the church, right? And so there was always a lot of tension in my own, not with you guys, but in my own heart with, like, how do I honor that? And I feel really good. Like, after being with him for 2.5 decades, like, I know he would have wanted me to walk forward. And even if it ends up looking a little different, I know he's, like, cheering. So how do I honor what he's birthed and built and gave his life for, and yet move forward? And so I want to move forward. I want to keep going forward. I don't want to rest on a decade ago's God movement. I don't want to rest on accomplishments. I want to honor those things and be grateful for those things and talk about those things, but I don't want it to tether me to the back. I want it to push me forward. I want those to be building blocks, not anchors. You take a cinder block, you put cement on it and slap it with a bunch of other cinder blocks, it builds something amazing. Take the same cinder block, you tie it up with a rope and you throw it over the edge and it becomes an anchor. You with me? It's the same thing. You can get stuck there because that was a glorious thing and I don't want to... No, let's take that. Let's build it in the foundation of who we're becoming. That way we're not leaving it behind, but we're not tied to it. Yes, this is glorious, and I'm so grateful for that, but I'm walking forward. I'm moving on. So I hope if that resonates in your heart, you have permission to move on. If you needed that, then good. If you didn't, then don't worry about it, because it's just me sounding silly. Pressing forward can be scary. That's why I stay stuck in the past sometimes, because the future can be scary, right? Anyone ever get anxious thoughts about tomorrow and just anxiety? Well, hopefully the answer is no, because you're living in Philippians and you know what it means to walk in the peace of God. But last one, the past holds my identity. If I move forward, who will I be then? So important, ladies and gentlemen, that you get your identity from Christ. See, you're a new creation. See, you got to see it. Guys, you got to see it. You got to see that this is a new day, and this what Christ is speaking over you from his word today. You are a new creation. You are not stuck there. Yes, you carried that identity, and yes, you're familiar with that, and that's who you are, but no longer. You are now in Christ. You've got to have Jesus speaking your identity today. Then we can move forward. And our yes towards the future, it's got to be bigger than the pull of our past. Saying yes, pressing on, this forward movement that Paul was talking about. I forget the past and I press on. There's got to be a bigger yes forward or you're going to stay stuck in the yesterdays. And it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Say yes. They are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen. Say amen. Amen. That means so be it or let it be. Is spoken by us to the glory of God. Jesus has said yes over the promises for you, for your future, and for your right now. And we say, amen, so be it. Let it be. Yeah. Because you can't access those promises in the past. The promises of God don't live in the past. They live today. Get this with me, guys. As great as the things that were that happened, or as horrible as the things that were that happened, the promises of God for you are yes and amen. They are yes and amen. They are yes and amen. Jesus is saying yes for a glorious future, for the purposes and plans of God, for this gap to be bridged that, well, I'm not there yet. I feel stuck. But Jesus is saying, but over here, I have got a heavenward call for you. I have got plans and purposes that you can only dream of. I have got a vision for your life that looks so amazing, that is full of kingdom things, that has rich relationships and healing and forgiveness in it, that has power and glory and the power of God in it. And we're stuck over here saying, but I'm not there yet. I am this. And Paul said, man, you got to forget that. Don't forget the benefits of it. You know, don't forget it in that sense, but forget it as an identity of my life. Forget it as something that I'm leaning on. Forget it as something how I operate. Forget that and say, all right, God, today's a new day. I'm a new creation. I have a new future. I'm going forward. Remember our word from last week? There's more beyond. There's more beyond. This is not the final thing. There's more beyond. Your best days are not behind you. They're ahead of you. Come on. God has more for your right now, and he has more for your tomorrow. Your tomorrow is full of lots of right nows. Come on. God meets you right now full of these promises that he has for you. Come on. The promises don't live back there. Promises live here forward. So we're giving you permission today to move forward. to not be stuck anymore. No more stuck. No more stuck. Say it. No more stuck. No more stuck. I'm not stuck back there anymore. I'll give honor to the past, to the good things. I'll thank Jesus. Whenever I'm tempted to get stuck in my failures of the past, I'm just going to take that and I'm going to turn that up as one of God's promises. He's promised to deliver me and save me and heal me and set me free for his glorious purposes. Amen. I'm going to say amen to that. I'm not going to be stuck anymore. I'm going to cut the tie to that anchor and I'm going to take that block, put it in my foundation, and I'm going to build something bigger and better. I'm going forward by the grace of God for the glory of God and the purposes of God. I'm moving that way. I'm moving on. I'm moving forward. There's more beyond. This isn't my final days. I'm not ending here. There's more tomorrow. The glory of God is not done with me yet. The presence of Jesus has not left my life. The plans of God are not fulfilled in me. I'm honest. I'm not there yet, but I'm heading that way. I'm not there yet, but I'm heading that way. I'm not there yet, but I'm heading that way. Come on. I'm not there yet, but I'm heading that way. How many want to head that way? Yeah? Amen. God, I just bless these people today. Thank you, God, that you're a God of progress. Lord, I thank you that you're pulling our feet out of the clay. We're not stuck anymore. And God, we get to move forward as we forget those things that we either live in nostalgia on or that tie us in guilt and shame. No more. In the name of Jesus, we're moving forward. We're walking with you. Thank you for a great today and an even better tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.